This fit? Okay, thanks. Okay, well, anyways, I've got a clip to show you guys. So if you would, David, go ahead and play it.
Hey, you!
What's that?
Whoa. Charlie, stay where you are. Charlie, would you listen to me? Stay up there.
It is Santa. You killed him.
Did not. And he's not Santa.
Well, he was.
He's got some ID on him, I bet. Fella, if you can hear me, I'm just looking for identification. Once you figure out who you are, I'll give you a lift back to the mall. If something should happen to me, put on my suit. The reindeer will know what to do. Yeah, right.
Tim Allen. We love Tim. So, how many of you guys have seen that movie? It's okay if you haven't. It's okay if it's a no-go right there. But that movie is called what?
The Santa Claus.
Yes. Good job, guys. The Santa Claus. So, what we know about the Santa Claus in the next couple scenes is that he puts on a suit, right? And he becomes Santa sort of involuntarily, right? Like, he didn't want this. He didn't ask anybody to become Santa. He just put on the suit one day because of this exact scene that we saw. And then the next thing he knows, he's being flown to the North Pole. They're like, he's like, where's your boss? And you talk to him, and they're like, you're our boss. You are Santa Claus. Then he gains like 200 pounds, can't stop growing a beard, and the rest is history. In this moment, he was asked, sort of, in a way, with that little card, to do something that he didn't necessarily want to do. Has that ever happened to you guys? Have you ever been asked to do something that you don't want to do? Yeah. And it's not necessarily, like, and some of you guys might be thinking, like, yeah, like, I've been put in, like, sticky situations before. I'm not talking about anything bad, per se. I'm talking about something that would actually be good for you. And you're asked to do it, but you don't want to do it. Yeah? Eating your vegetables? Anybody? Anybody just like firm, no vegetables in the room? Anyone? No? Okay. Cobb salads. So when I was 10 years old, I just moved to Virginia from California. And so what you native Virginians would know is how great Busch Gardens is, right? Busch Gardens is a great place. It's a fun, awesome place to go. And I did like roller coasters when I moved here. I had been on a couple. Of course, I was 10 years old, and so I had been on a few. But you guys know the Griffin. You know, you walk up to that thing, and you just see people hanging off the ledge. Like, why would you choose to do that? And in my 10-year-old mind, I sat there, staring up at the Griffin for the first time because my parents decided to take us to Busch Gardens. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting on that ride. And my dad said, oh, yes, you are. And if you don't know my father is a 6'5" man. And he's not very scary unless he wants to be. You know what I mean? Like, you know how like your dads are like, haha, fun. And then all of a sudden they'll just be like, I said to do this. And you're like, oh, God. Like, I thought we were joking around, bro. I'm sorry. So that's how like my dad is. So I'm like, I'm not going on it. And he's like, yes, you are. You're going on this ride. And I said, no. He said, let's go. Just like grabs me by the arm and pulls me into line. And I'm just crying like the whole time in line. I am just sobbing. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go on the ride. At one point, my older brother, who at that point was 14, started kind of making fun of me. He's like, oh, this girl, you're such a baby. Like, I can't believe you're crying. And I remember to this day, I got in so much trouble because I got so angry at him that I like dug my fingernails into his arm and like made him bleed. Cause I was just so mad. And I was like, how could you do this to me? I'm like, whatever, evil 10-year-old Sky. And so, anyways, I cried through the whole line. My dad gets us in line first row, 10 years old. I'm like, what's happening right now? I'm on the ride. And I will tell you, I did have my eyes closed the entire time that I was on the ride, but I survived. I'm here to tell the tale, and I had a great time. And now no roller coasters scare me. It was awesome. So now I'm just a thrill-seeking lady, and I love to get on roller coasters. I've been skydiving. I've been spelunking. That's not super thrill-seeking, but it can be if it's a scary cave, and it was the one that I went to. If you don't know what spelunking is, it's like cave diving, and it is a lot of work, and it was scary. Anyways, so maybe you've been asked to do things that you don't want to do, but I would bet that it's not necessarily becoming Santa Claus, right? That's never been given to you as an option. But maybe it's an oral presentation. Any of you guys scared to give presentations in front of other people? Yes, no, maybe so. Maybe it was learning how to drive. Some of you guys in the room, maybe it was like, yes, finally. And other times you were like, this is scary. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get behind the wheel. Maybe it was applying to a certain school you didn't think you'd get into. Maybe it's like getting a job. Like you don't want it, but like your parents tell you to do it and you know it'll be good for you. Maybe it's accepting a leadership role. These things that I just named, eating your vegetables, these things are there to better you, but they're not always easy. And there was a girl a long time ago. Can you guys say a long time ago? A long time ago. A long time ago in a land on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, named Mary. Mary, a little 15-year-old girl, she was asked to do something pretty huge. And I'll tell you this, it was not easy what she was asked to do. It would ultimately change history. It was a very short conversation that led to her decision. And ultimately, she made the decision to go for it, even though she knew it would not be easy. So I'm going to pray really fast and then we're going to get into our message if that's all right with you guys. Okay. Jesus, thank you so much for each and every student in this room, God. I thank you so much for the message that you want them to hear tonight. I thank you, Lord, that even through a clip from the Santa Claus, Tim Allen, we can learn something. We can apply it to our lives in a way. And God, I pray that you would affect every heart in the room. God, we love you. We praise you. And everyone said amen. Amen. Okay, what were our two things that we're working on now that we were becoming more serious in our faith? Anyone can tell me? Notes. We're taking notes, people. So whether you bring a journal, who my journal girls, my journal guys? Anybody? Yeah, I know no guy's got a journal in here. I can already see you. All right, well, whether it's on a notes app and like, You know, the Lord knows if you're on Instagram, the Lord knows if you're texting. I will not bug you about it. But the notes app is there for you because today this message might not be important to you. You also have very short-term memory because I have short-term memory and I don't remember things that happened yesterday. So I definitely wouldn't remember something, even if I think it's really good and I agree with it while it's happening. Notes could really help you in the future. What's the second thing? Responding, which you guys are doing terrible at right now. Amen. Hey. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. I don't care what it is. I do care what it is. If you say something mean, I don't want that to happen. But If you guys agree with anything, if you think something's good, if you just want to praise God, do it. Be vocal. It really, honestly, will just keep you engaged. It will keep you a part of the process, because I don't want this to be me talking to you guys. I want this to be a conversation of some sort. I want you guys engaged. I want you guys hearing what God is saying tonight. Amen? Amen. There we go. Holla. That's good, too. You guys can literally say anything other than if it's not mean. I don't want that. Okay, if you guys would open your Bibles or Bible apps or whatever to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. First person there gets a high five from me. Oh, Olivia. Oh. Second person gets a fist bump. Oh, okay. And next person gets a kick in the face. Anyone? Oh. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're starting verse 26. So scroll down, flip the page, whatever you got to do. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. And you guys, if you already saw the title, we're talking about the birth of Jesus. Because what is the season currently, fellas and ladies? Jesus, happy birthday, Jesus, from Galen. Yes, it is Christmas time, Christmas season, and that means we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. So I thought, why not in this month then really talk about what that means to us, what that means for our future, what that means for our friends. So that's what we doing. Cool? Hello? Is anyone there? Okay, yeah. All right. Verse 26, I'm going to read it. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. What would you guys say if someone just randomly appeared in your room and they said, greetings? What would you do? You would scream. You would kick them. You would punch them. You would not probably say hello. Emmanuel's back there ready to take out the angel Gabriel right now. I'm seeing him back there. Punching back, just going at it. I would not necessarily be super chill, but this is what Mary says afterwards. Well, actually, I'll say this. She didn't actually say anything either. It does say Mary was greatly troubled at his words. So we can guess that in this moment, Mary was also not chill. She says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This is pretty crazy. Let's just say this. This is pretty crazy stuff. I read it casually, but guys, this is not just a fairy tale story we're reading. It's not Cinderella. This is the Bible. It happened in history, so that's pretty wild. I'll continue. It says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I want you guys to put yourself in her situation. I know men, you're like, I don't know, whatever. But I just want to tell, like, just imagine. You're somehow able to have a baby in this moment. But let's put you, how many of you guys in the room are 15? Raise your hand if you're 15. 15. Delilah, Cooper, Maya, Corinne, almost. Yeah. Imagine you're told you're going to have a child. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Guys, I would be so overwhelmed. Right now, I'm 25 years old. If I were to be married, if I were to be able to have a child, it would still be so overwhelming. But this girl, and let's go back here, says she's engaged to be married. Any of you 15-year-olds ready to be married? Cooper, or what? I just, like, that's insane to me. Like, the reality of what's going on. Culturally, that was, like, the thing, was getting married young. So she's 15. She's about to get married. And before that even happens, she's told, you're actually going to conceive a son. And she's like, what? Let's look at the things that Mary faced in this exact moment. It says Mary was troubled at his word. She was afraid. It says deeply troubled. Let's be real here. She was frightened. She was just, there was just fear in the place. The next thing, Mary was young. Mary was really young. Some of you guys, you know, I'd trust you with some things, but I wouldn't give you the keys to my car. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like 15 years old. Love you guys. You're a little on the immature side. I'm going to say it. I'm so sorry. It's true. And I would say that about myself too. And I'm 10 years older than anyone who's 15 in this room. She faced her own immaturity. The third thing is that Mary was not married. Say it with me. Mary was not married. Whoa. Pretty crazy here. Let's just look at the actual, like, cultural significance of this. And just in general, she was betrothed to be married. She's not married yet. And though she knows that an angel of God told her that she would have a baby, even though she was a virgin, even though she wasn't married yet, what were other people going to think? What were other people going to think? People around her, people in her society, in her culture, they know she's not married yet. How would she be able to have a baby? He or she faced bad reputation. You guys know what bad reputation looks like in different forms, in different ways. But this girl is about to have a bad reputation. In this type of thing, her husband would be fully able, or her betrothed would be fully able to just walk away from her. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. He would just be able to say, nope, bye, see ya, never. And there's actually another passage that we're not going to go into where he tried to do that, and then God visited, or the angel visited Joseph and told him, you're going to stay with Mary. You're going to raise the Son of God. And he was like, okay, sounds cool. Never mind. So he goes back. Guys, when I was 15, I think the scariest good thing that I was, like, there to face were, like, my AP tests. You know what I mean? Like, just SATs in general, or maybe just what are the end of the year tests for you guys? SOLs. Like to some extent, that's, like, a good thing that would propel me forward. But dang, they're scary. But not as scary as having a child, the Son of God. And in some ways, shape, or form, Mary really models what it looks like to be asked by God to do something, even though it might be scary, but to say yes and to follow through with what God is asking you to do. When God asks us to do something, so look at your neighbor, look at their other neighbor. Now, imagine your neighbor is a reflection of yourself, and you're actually looking at your own self. Wow. Okay. And back. And scene. When God asks us to do something, point to yourself. When God asks you to do something, we can sometimes count ourselves out for multiple different reasons. Has God ever asked any of you guys to do something and your first instinct is, I can't? Or maybe just anyone, a parent, friend, teacher, has asked you to do something and the first thing you think is, I can't do that. Whether you're scared, whether you don't have time, your first instinct is, I can't. I can't do it. I don't have whatever it is. I can't. When I went on my first missions trip to the Dream Center back in 2012, I went on my first missions trip, and at the Dream Center, we go down to a place called Skid Row, where we minister to people who live in legal homelessness. They're able to stay there, they don't get kicked out, but man, they live in some really sad realities. And we're told to go down there and we talk and we engage and we serve them in whatever way we can. But the biggest thing was to pray for them. We go through and we pray for people. We try to really share God's message with whoever that we can. And here I am, 15 years old, and I'm told I have to go pray out loud, which already can be intimidating, but I have to pray out loud for a stranger, and I have to pray out loud for someone who does not own a home. And sometimes even people in those situations can be intimidating, but in reality, they're just people, you know? And so I'm faced with this thing of like, I can't do this. I can't pray for someone out loud, but I really can't pray for someone who's in a situation that I can't fix or I can't do anything for them. So what's this going to do? I counted myself out immediately for a number of reasons. And what I want to encourage you guys with today is that God will always equip those who he has called. God will always equip those who he has called. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And guys, as we are taking our relationships with God more seriously, as that is the challenge for us to move forward, what's the next step? Does anybody know? I will tell you if you don't know. Okay. The next step is to listen and know what God is asking of us. Because we talked about prayer. We talked about friendships. I know we've talked about worship in this room before. We have talked about a lot of different things. And a lot of times I talk about purpose or maybe what God's calling you to do. And maybe you guys hear that. Maybe you know it's good. Or maybe you're like, yeah, amen, amen. But you're like, what is God calling me to do? Has anyone ever thought, what is God calling me to do? And you didn't have an answer. Just like plain and simple, that's been a thing that you think in your mind. So our next steps with taking our relationships with God more seriously is to listen and know what he is asking of us. If you don't know what God's asking of you, I think we can learn something from Mary. Are you guys good with learning something from Mary in this moment? Hello? Is anyone there? Hark! The heralds, angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Okay, so here are some steps for us to follow. We're following Mary's lead. If we want to know anything about Jesus, or anything about Jesus, if we want to know what Jesus is saying to us, we need to follow Mary's lead. All right, everybody, I'm going to do a quick little scan of the room. Turn your phones around at me. No tap. Girls in the back row? Oh, you just shut it off? Okay. Girls, you put down your phones. I know your mom. I know, I'm calling your mom. I'm just kidding. Love your mom and love you guys. Anyways, wow, you guys are so good. Look here, wave your notes in the air like you just don't care. Yeah, we love to see it. Love you guys. Cute. Okay, the first thing that Mary did that we need to take note of is she listened. You guys say she listened? I don't know if you guys have this problem with your parents, guardians, whoever's in your household, but when they're on their phone, like your mom's sitting there on her phone, she's like this. And she's got the one finger, you know, because she hasn't learned how to do the two-finger thing yet, so she's just like. For some reason, my mom, like, goes completely deaf whenever I'm talking to her while she's doing that on her phone. She cannot hear anything that I try to tell her. If she's sitting there and she's like, oh, I got to check my email, and we're hanging out, we're doing whatever. She's like this. And I'm like, hey, mom, where are we going to go to lunch? Mother, hello, I'm trying to talk to you. Sky, I'm just trying to send this email. Well, you've been trying to send that email for 5 minutes, woman. Please look at me. I'm trying to talk to you. Man, she can sit there. It's like she doesn't even hear me. It's like she can't listen, so she doesn't listen, and it's like I'm not even there. And when we think about Mary in this situation with the angel who randomly shows up in her room, her house, some random person just appearing in your room saying, "Peace be from God." You're like, "Get out! Goodbye!" Kicking them, throwing them, whatever you need to do. She's like, "I got to get out of here. I'm going." You know what I mean? Like, any of you guys, if any, like, trouble's coming, you're just running. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even look back. You hear, like, a suspicious noise, and you're just booking it. You know, like, you don't even care what's behind you. You're just like, bye. Mary, in this moment, could have ran, right? She didn't have to stay and hear what the angel was trying to say to her. She listened instead. She was not like my mother on her phone. She had an awareness that this was important. This was from God. And she took note and she stayed and she listened. So what I want to encourage you guys with today is to start trying to develop an awareness of God's leading. An awareness of God's leading. And what I mean by that is, what are you hearing from God? If you're not, are you listening? Are you giving him any time to talk to you, or are you just talking to him? God, this is what's going on. These are my problems. God, can you fix this? God, I don't want this, whatever. Are you not talking to him? Are you giving him an opportunity to speak to you? Whether it's through his word, whether it's through a friend, whatever it is, God is always talking. He is always speaking to us. He is always asking us to take the next step forward. And oftentimes it might not even look like what you think it does. Maybe it looks like a friend inviting you to church. Maybe it looks like you inviting a friend to church. Or you kind of feel like maybe, you know, you hear your friend kind of talking about how they're really discouraged and you think in your head, I should invite her to church. I should invite him to church. And you're like, but no. That could be God's leading. If you feel that kind of move, that tug, and you really can't shake it, God could be leading you to do multiple things, but you have to listen. You have to listen. The other thing is, are you guys seeing your passions ignited? Is there anything that you're really interested in? Like, is there stuff that you get excited about that also glorifies God? Whether that is maybe something with music, maybe it's art, maybe it's your studies at school, maybe it's a sport. Who knows what it is? If you're seeing your passions ignited, those are things and talents that God has given you. Like, that's what you have in your heart, you have in your soul, that was given to you by God. And so if you get excited about something, you're serving in kids ministry and you're like, man, this is just filling me up. You know, this is giving me a lot of joy. Whatever it is that you feel like you get a lot of joy from, public speaking, some of you guys really love it, you know, and you get a joy from it. I do. And so that's how I kind of knew that this was where I was being led. And so there are things that you can kind of pick out, passions that are ignited, and that is God's leading. Maybe there's a door that's opening. Maybe there's a door that's closing. And that could be God's leading. The next thing is that Mary questioned. Can you guys say Mary questioned? Mary questioned. It sounds like we're trying to say Merry Christmas in a really weird way. Mary questioned. I was saying it. I was like, this sounds strange to me. This is weird. She questioned. Guys, she could have said no immediately, right? She could have ended the conversation. God, Gabriel, I'm sorry, bud. I'm going to have to leave. I got an order waiting for me. Taco Bell. I got peace out. Peace out. Peace out. But she didn't. You guys, I want to put this situation in front of you. You guys ever ask your parents, your guardians, whatever it may be, hey, can I go over to so-and-so's house to sleep over? Hey, can I go over to so-and-so's house to play basketball, play video games? Maybe you're just asking to go somewhere, go to something. And what do they do? So it's not a no, but maybe they ask you, who's going to be there? Whose parents are these? Do you know them? How long have you known them? Where is it going to be? Who else will be there? Are their parents present? What are they doing? They're what? They're questioning you. They're questioning you, and you're like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this interrogation. I said yes or no question, woman. Like, why are you asking me so many questions? You start sweating, and you're like, I just wanted to go over to Jimmy's house. He got a new Nintendo game. You're like, I give up. You know, like, you don't even want to go any further. But they're questioning, but what have they not said yet? They haven't said no, right? They're just questioning you. They're just asking you questions because they are concerned, maybe. Maybe because they want some more clarification. You know, they just want to know kind of the situation that's going on. They want to be able to trust what you're asking them, where you're going. They want to be able to trust in you in this moment. So they're asking you lots of questions. You may seem like you're under interrogation, but ultimately, those questions are okay, right? Because what if it results in a yes? We love it. Mary could have said no immediately, but instead she asked Gabriel questions. She said, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. How is this even possible? But what this means is that Mary hasn't said no yet. Mary's concerned, obvi. Who else will be concerned? Amen. Yes, in this moment, you would be a little scared. But you haven't shut off God yet. She had not shut off God. And so if God is asking you to do something, if God's leading you to do something and you're questioning, but you feel bad for questioning him and you're going back and forth, whatever that looks like, you might kind of feel like, man, I feel disobedient. I feel like whatever. But questions are okay. It means you haven't said no to God. You just want some more little answers. You know what I mean? You're just trying to find out what's going on. You're allowing him to move and persuade you. You know what I mean? You're giving God an opportunity to move you, to persuade you towards whatever he's calling you to do. And the last thing is that she was willing. Can you guys say, she was willing? So what was the first one? She listened. The second thing, Mary questioned. Am I right? Mary questioned. Merry Christmas. Questions are okay. Yes. And the last thing was, she was willing. She was willing. Mary very easily could have disqualified herself. She could have said no. She could have said, I'm not going to be the one for you in this moment. I am out of here. I don't want to do this. Whatever it was. But that would be taking away an opportunity to God, for God to be glorified through her. Because he said so many wonderful things about Jesus in there. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And what is that kingdom? That kingdom's us. The descendants are us. We're included in there. And that is the child she'd give birth to. You know, I think of, you know, my parents could be very well disappointed in me, but I'm sure she would never be disappointed in Jesus, like the Son of God. You know, like there could be moments of that, but in this, she could give God glory through saying yes or bringing about the child of God, bringing back out the Messiah. She would be taking away an opportunity for God to be glorified through him. But what do we know about God is that he will always be glorified, right? If we don't sing his praises, if we sit here shut mouthed and we don't bother lifting up a praise to God, the one who created us, the one who put us on this earth, the one who provides for us and loves us so much, scripture says the rocks will cry out. The whole earth was silent. Nature would sing his praises. So God will always be glorified. Let's get that straight. In every one of your lives, you are given opportunities to glorify God, and he will always be glorified. But will you be the one to glorify God through your life? Will you be the one? Willingness is all that God needs. All he needs is a simple yes, and your yes could change history. And some of you guys are like, bro, I'm not changing history. I just want to do whatever it says. Well, then you're limiting God. You're disqualifying yourself. You're saying no, you're not listening, you're not questioning, there's no conversation, you're just saying no. Guys, every single one of you in this room, and I want you to look at me when I say this to you, every single one of you in this room have the capability, the gifts, the God on your side to do anything. Literally to do anything in this world, you all have that capability, not by your strength, but through God in your life, if you are willing to give him a place and you are willing to listen and follow and give your yes. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases in him. So God is working in each and every one of you if you are in relationship with him. And guys, I want to read you some of the promises that Mary was given in this moment. And Galen, if you could grab your guitar, we'll do a little thing. So Mary was given a couple promises in this moment. And the cool thing about these promises is that they apply to each one of us still today. So I'm going to read these over you guys. If you're in a place where you are needing some encouragement, you are needing some just positive Jesus words spoken over you. I don't know what the right term of that is. But if you're just needing some of God's promises in your life for whatever you're going through, whatever you're seeing, I'm going to read these for you, okay? These are the same ones given for Mary. The first one is, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The next one is, do not be afraid. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know what God's presenting to you. I don't know what you're struggling with unless you've told me those things, which I'm open to listen. But God in this passage says, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. The third one is, you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. And some of you guys might not be feeling like you have found favor with God because of how your life is going. Or maybe you just don't feel close to God, so you don't know how in the world he could favor you. But that's the thing about God, is that his love is unconditional. His reach is wider. His love is deeper than we could even put together in our minds. So when he says you have found favor with God, believe it. Receive it over your lives and walk in it. The fourth is that his kingdom will never end. So a lot of things in this world that seem crazy and they seem out of touch and they seem like you can't get a hold on whatever's going on, just know that God in the end, that his kingdom will reign, his kingdom will be forever, that everything that's happening right now is temporary. The struggles are temporary, even the good things are temporary, and ultimately we'll be together with God forever in eternity. And the last thing is that no word from God will ever fail. So if you guys have ever received something from God, if you've received a promise through somebody else, someone's spoken a word over you, someone has encouraged you, you've read something in God's word that even is hard to believe sometimes, just know from the mouth of Gabriel, the angel that was giving the message from God, is that no word from God will ever fail. No promise that he's given you, no word of encouragement, nothing in his physical word will ever fail. These promises have not changed for us. And the cool thing is that in 1 Colossians 1:12, he says, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. And what have we learned this morning at church is that the light is Jesus. So if you are in Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you share in all of these promises. Everything that's here is promised to you. Despite if you're given a task that seems too big or something that just seems out of control, God is with you. God is for you. You don't have to be afraid. His kingdom will never end, and no word from him will ever fail. And that is yours if you are in Jesus. If you guys would close your eyes, we're just going to kind of end this in prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much for bringing us into this room, God. We thank you, Lord, for just the word that you've spoken over each and every one of the students in this room. Lord, I pray that those of you who know what God is asking for them will now know that they don't have to be afraid, that they are equipped with his spirit, and that he will always be with him. They have favor found in him. And I pray for those in the room who don't yet know what God is asking of them. God, I pray that you would just speak, Lord, that they would listen, that they would be able to take in what you're trying to say to them, where you're leading them to go, God, and it would be earth-shattering. Lord, that even their thoughts about their own lives, the way that they've planned out their lives to go, God, I pray that you would wreck it. God, I pray that the picture that they have pieced together, the puzzle that they're trying to force fit those pieces to work, God, I pray that you would push all those things aside and you'd say, daughter, son, this is what I am calling you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do, and I pray that you would make it so clear to them. And if there's anyone in this room that really feels like they're on one of those spectrums or another, I just want to know more or less so that I can be praying with you, that I can be checking up with you. If you guys have something that you know God's asked you to do, but maybe it's a little scary, maybe it's a little intimidating, and you just, you want us to come in agreement with you, you want to be prayed over, would you raise your hand if you kind of know really where God's leading you in this moment? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Jesus, we thank you for these hands. God, I pray that you would equip them. Lord, that you would surround them. God, that they would seek out counsel. They would seek out advice. They would seek out your leading in this, Lord, that you would lead them in the way that they should go, that you would give them the courage, and that you would give them the power and the ability, Lord, because they have it if they have your spirit. Jesus, we love you. And if you're in this room and you know that you haven't necessarily heard anything from God, but you're wanting to hear something from God and you're wanting to know really what he's calling you to do, would you raise your hand? Yeah. That's good. Jesus, we pray over the hands that were lifted in this room. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are always speaking. You are always leading. And Lord, you have a plan and you have a purpose for each and every one of these students, God. And they can choose whether or not to sit back and let life pass them by, or they can be active and proactive with you, God, in seeking out your words, Lord. I pray that you would speak to them, whether it's through a friend, family member, a leader, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would make yourself so clear, that you would lead them in the way they should go. And if you're in this room, and I always like to offer it, and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, and you really feel like things are starting to change for you, maybe for good or for bad, and you say, God, I want to get on track. I want to be in your presence. I want to have found favor with you. I want to be led by your spirit always, and I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be discouraged. I want to find hope in you, and you want to accept Jesus into your heart tonight. Would you raise your hand so we can pray for you? Yeah, I see your hands. Anyone else want to just give their heart to Jesus tonight? Yeah. Well, let's pray this together. Say, Jesus, we love you. I thank you for what you did for me. Being born on this earth and then living to die on a cross for my sins so I could spend eternity with you. God, I accept you into my heart. I ask you to cleanse me of my sins. And I proclaim you Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to pray this over each and every one of you. It says, Hebrews 13:21, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. If you guys would stand with me, I'm just going to pray that one more time. And the thing about a gift, as we're approaching Christmas, is that you can't receive a gift if your hands are closed, right? You can't receive anything if your hands are in your pockets, to your sides, behind your back, whatever it is. So if you are wanting to receive this gift from God, this prayer, and you wanted to receive that into your life today, would you just put out your hands to God? And that's what this motion really is God, we receive you in this moment. So Lord, I want to pray this over these students. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Guys, love you. I want to remind you guys, if any of you raised your hands for anything, please stay, talk with a leader. Just let us know.